This Sunday is the second Sunday after Pentecost. The psalm of the day is from Psalm 119, verses 65 to 72. The Old Testament reading is from Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15 through chapter 6, verse 6. The epistle readings is from Romans, chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. And the Holy Gospel is from St. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. The Old Testament reading is from Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15 through chapter 6, verse 6. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore I have you and them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. The epistle is from Romans 4, verses 13 to 25. The promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should be the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, and he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. You do realize that There are people sincerely afraid to walk into a church on a Sunday morning. Perhaps if you're listening to this, you're one of those people. Afraid of being recognized as an outsider, as someone who doesn't belong in a place like the church. Over the years, I've had more than one person say to me, "The church roof would cave in if I showed up here on a Sunday morning." And they usually say it with a smile, but I believe them to be completely serious. They were convinced that they didn't belong in religious circles. Matthew, the tax collector, was an outsider to his own people. We tend not to love the tax collectors of our day, but it's nothing like it was in Matthew's day. Tax collectors were considered traitors of Israel, opportunist crooks working for the occupying government. And the Roman system of taxation was ingenious. A tax collector like Matthew would pay a fee to the government in exchange for a license to open a tax office. And that permitted him to collect all the taxes he could. Needless to say, tax collectors were unwelcome in polite society, much less in religious circles. So it would be surprising to people that Jesus should walk up to Matthew at his tax collector's office and say to him what he said to the fisherman, "Follow me." Those are discipling words, words that invite Matthew to join Jesus' rank of followers, words that actually empower him to arise, leave his tax office, and follow Jesus. An outsider, a tax collector, had just become, by the undeserved kindness of God, an insider, one of Jesus' apostolic 12. I'm sure that raised a rabbinic eyebrow or two, don't you think? What on earth was Jesus doing, calling a tax collector to be one of his closest disciples? I suppose you could understand the four fishermen, strong, hardworking. You could even understand Simon the Zealot. He hated the Roman government and was itching for revolt, but a tax collector? To make matters even more outrageous, Matthew invites Jesus over to his house for a little party to celebrate his new calling and his group of new friends. So, whom do you suppose he invites to his little party? His friends, of course. And what sort of friends do you think a tax collector has? Sinners. They were called by the religious insiders. The Pharisees looked in on all this with disapproval. They were predisposed to disapproval when it came to Jesus, looking for some way to discredit him. Dinner was an open affair. People on the street could look in and see the kind of company you kept. So they asked Jesus' disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with this bunch, tax collectors and sinners? They'd never go near such people." Jesus heard their question and turned the tables on them. "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. When you're well, or at least you think you're well, you have no need or interest in a doctor. But if you suspect something is wrong, if the symptoms are lining up poorly on WebMD, you'll grab the phone and call for an appointment. You want to see the doctor right away." Now, imagine a doctor who didn't want to be around sick people, who comes into the waiting room and looks at all those runny noses and itchy eyes and hears all the coughing and sneezing, and then runs out of the room. Well, that's not much of a doctor. Nor would Jesus be much of a savior if he didn't care for the company of sinners. But that was Jesus' mission, to seek and to save the lost, to become lost in our death in order that we might be found in him. He came in solidarity with sinners, baptized with sinners in John's baptism of repentance, crucified as a sinner, bearing the guilt of the world on his own shoulders. He became our sin, the Bible says. He embodied our sin in his body. Jesus became the outsider, forsaken, alone, isolated, so that in him we might become insiders, the children of God, disciples, baptized into his death and life. Think about the Pharisees looking in on Matthew's party with Jesus and all of his tax collector friends. There's an irony here. The insiders are outside, and the outsiders are inside with Jesus. The Pharisees, who imagined themselves to be God's insiders by virtue of their commandment-keeping, are sitting on the outside, looking in on a party of tax collectors and sinners surrounding Jesus, the friend of sinners. Where's the church? Outside with the Pharisees or inside with Jesus? And yet, the gracious light of that party with Jesus shines out, even to the Pharisee. There is mercy even for the religious. Jesus gives them a little take-home assignment. Go and learn what this means, quoting from the prophet Hosea, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Go to Hosea, Jesus is saying, and learn what that passage means. Hosea, the prophet who taught that those who were not my people would be called the people of God, that the outsider would become the insider by grace through faith, just as Abraham became an insider by God's grace and calling through faith, which God credited to Abraham as righteousness. Go and learn what it means, Jesus says. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God and not burnt offerings, not religious rituals. That's not the way to the heart of God, but faith. Faith that rests on the knowledge of God and mercy that flows from faith. That's what the Pharisees were missing. Faith, trust in the promise of God's love to the sinner. And that's why they looked down their religious noses at those tax collectors and sinners. They didn't see themselves as sinners. If you don't think you're sick, you won't see the doctor. If you don't see your sin, you'll have no use for Jesus. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. That's the company that Jesus keeps at his table. Sinners who are justified for his sake by his blood. Now make no mistake, the Pharisees are welcome at Jesus' party, but they're welcome as sinners, not the righteous ones they thought they were. God save us from being Pharisees. But the truth is that our sinful selves are good at looking down on the sinners of our day, those people who don't just seem to get it. And we forget that we are in ourselves no better, no more righteous, no less sinful than those outside these walls. There are people listening in to the church and straining to hear that this good news applies to them too, that they are accepted by God in Jesus. None of us deserves to be in. We don't deserve to be baptized, to hear the word, to receive the body and blood. We haven't earned our way here by our right choices and decisions. We are here because of God's undeserved kindness in Jesus, the same grace that called Abraham to be the father of nations, that calls a tax collector to be a disciple, that breaks bread with the sinner, that declares the outsider to be the insider. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Welcome. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds,
God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who, with the Father and the Son, together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, you sent your Son Jesus Christ to seek and to save the lost. Graciously open our ears and our hearts to hear his call, and follow him by faith, that we may feast with him forever in his kingdom. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.